My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for him in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
That was a shooting gallery up there.
I could hear the trembling in his voice.
She suffered a fairly severe beating. The video is pretty graphic.
Justice for us seems almost impossible.
It's not fun to watch somebody die, and they knew she was in mortal peril.
They have not asked the hard questions. Why was the Capitol intentionally unsecure that day?
The FBI had information about security concerns before January 6th.
They're out for blood, and they're getting it. They appear to be winning.
Were the actions of the Capitol Police out of line? Were there violations in use of force?
Now I describe it as an inside job.
I'm ready to do whatever God calls me.
There's an old Chinese saying my ancestors learned before the Communist Party took over our country. The family is the essential unit of human society, and that you must have honor and defend your family. But it's not always easy to do.
When the regime gives the order, you have to kill.
My heart was pounding. I felt my body bouncing and twisting on the floor. They put numbers on our shoulders, then separated us into rows of even and odd numbers. I was number 9. My brother, he's still in prison. And my sister, she was sent to a labor camp without a trial. But there's one piece of evidence they haven't been able to destroy yet. I left everything behind. If I can't expose what they did to us, then all of our suffering would be for nothing.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topics off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. Final hour of the day, and final hour of this week. And want to say thank you to all of my guests that have joined me this week. Also want to say thank you to Kenneth McClinton, the president and chairman of TECN-TV. For helping to book my guests. He has been very appreciative of the incredible guests and the topics that we've been talking about. So thank you for that, sir. All right. I want to welcome my guest. Gordon Chaps Klingenschutz joins me at the bottom of the hour, by the way. Christian persecution has come home to roost. from the gentleman who was at the parade on the sidewalk reading scriptures, who was arrested, to the young man that was also reading scriptures over a megaphone on a public sidewalk while in the park. You had drag queens and such twerking in front of small children. And it certainly seemed as though the decency issues should have been covered, but he was the one that was arrested. And this is happening, these things. So we'll talk about that. I want to talk with my guest, Mr. Jans, about, and I know we're going to talk about the lazy part of this, but I also think we need to talk about the fact that, you know, we can't get away from the fact that for the last almost 100 years, we have been slowly indoctrinating generation upon generation upon generation upon generation with what essentially, and we've even had some foreigners now who've made statements who've said, you know, only in America do you go to school and the school teaches you to hate your own country. How do you don't recover from that, Don?
You don't. Thomas Jefferson told us that we would lose our freedom when we became an uninterested, an uninformed, and an uninvolved public. The whole concept of the one of the key areas of Marxism is public education, mass public education. And his reason for it was so that you could indoctrinate those students. We have found that because the parents of our children have stepped back and have not taken an interest in what their kids have learned. And this isn't just recently. This has been going on for a long, long, long time. Have not taken an interest in what the schools are teaching and what their skills are, what their kids are learning. We find that the kids have learned totally opposite of what has really happened. And as we step back from, and we live the good life, and we come enmeshed in what we ourselves are doing, and we forget about other people, then we allow that type of movement. And this has been going on for centuries and centuries and centuries. We have to become more interested, more informed, and more involved. If we do not, we will lose our freedom. Well, in fact, we may have already lost it.
There's a, I just remembered this, and I don't know if I'll be able to find it or not, but there is a graduation speech that was shared, I want to say like at Harvard or somewhere along that line, but it was shared by somebody like a George Whitefield or someone along that line. And basically what they said was, is that, you know, the purpose of your education is to teach you how to be a better educated and a thoughtful and responsible and active citizen, a good citizen of this country. That was the purpose of education, was to teach one how to be a good member of the American citizenry. Mm-hmm. Don, I have to look at what's going on now and say, well, now the idea is to teach the child perhaps that you don't want to be an American citizen.
We're not teaching that they perhaps don't. We're teaching our children that they do not want to be an American. They want to take advantage of all the wonderful things that are that our system has given us, but you want to learn to hate it. We look at, and I hate to pick on these girls, although I'll pick on one specifically. We have a situation right now with the Women's World Cup soccer, and we have a bunch of extremely, except for one, the others are extremely talented soccer players. They are marvelous, marvelous athletes, and they have an opportunity to have participated in the greatest or the most free country the world had ever seen. I don't think that's true anymore, but at least it was not that long ago. And they go in front of the world and they mock us.
Yeah.
They mock America.
Yeah.
As they stand there wearing red, white, and blue, they act like the national anthem is a hateful song. And this is what we've taught those kids to become. And we've done it because we haven't paid any attention.
Well,
that's the biggest sin.
Some haven't paid attention, perhaps. I think this is why I say that you've got to go back a very long way to understand this. We have allowed the arguments to stand that are the propagation of lies.
Yes.
You know, I mean, they really are. Like for example, you know, when we talk about, you know, what are the greatest impacts to the climate? What produces the greatest amount of, I believe it's the carbon monoxide that they're all so concerned about, carbon dioxide that they're so concerned about. But what is it that creates the greatest amount of carbon dioxide on the planet? You know what it is? Huh?
Cows.
Yeah, well, that's what they would have you to believe. But what it actually is it's the oceans. The oceans are the greatest creator of carbon dioxide. But that doesn't fit their narrative, which is, you know, man is the problem, rather than recognizing that man has been placed here by God to be the solution.
And when you talk about things of that nature, even as, and you mentioned 100 years ago, I can't go back that far in my own experience, although I'm getting closer. But when we talk about those things, there were days I remember when families would come home at night and they would all sit around a kitchen table. They would have dinner and we would have discussion. And those discussions would be about far-reaching things. And they were never there as a dogmatic, but it was where kids would learn to listen, kids would learn to think, and kids would learn to question. That is no longer taking place. The engagements of people sitting around and discussing different topics, just like you talked about, climate change, doesn't happen anymore. And so they don't learn to, when we stop questioning authority, when we start to say, well, the instructor told me this, so it has to be that way, then we are doomed to lose our freedom. Education is about generating curiosity and teaching kids to research everything. I don't know how often you listen to different types of news articles or news programs, but I listened to BBC quite a bit. I listened to BBC quite a bit simply because I learned weeks ago that Niger was in trouble. And then I learned about 2 weeks ago that Niger had been taken over by a coup. And I just read about it for the first time in American news today. So we have to teach our kids to be curious and to search out different truths and different things. Truth is not found in one place.
Now, the thing we also have to understand with BBC is BBC is very, very left-wing.
Very well. I listened. They were talking about the Trump, the situation in America today, and they allowed this to stand. They said the case of the 2020 election has come before 60 courts, and 60 courts have said there was no fraud in our election.
That's a lie. Now,
and nobody called anybody on it.
Yep. Correct.
How did I know that? I knew that simply because I'm interested, I'm informed, and I am involved. And if I were not, I would have said, oh, wow, isn't that something? They said that the attorney general told Trump that there was no fraud. Barr did tell Trump there was no fraud. Barr also held a hard drive he had that he knew convicted Biden. And he held it. Now, once you understand that, then you can only then can you place a realistic look at that statement.
And we should drill down too. When Barr said that, yet Barr did not do any kind of actual. He didn't have any investigators.
Nothing.
That did any kind of forensic investigations or any kind of investigations in any of the states that are in question. And the states themselves now, before this, are coming forward and saying, we have a problem. Texas.
Sure. Remember that county up in Michigan? And they completely reflipped the count of the count because everything that had been reported about the machines was accurate, and they found out that their vote count was totally wrong. Now, yeah. That was not discussed. How do we know it? Because we've read and we're informed.
And we've had election officials in different places across the country that have been arrested for election fraud as well. From the 2020 election. So if there was no election fraud, then why were these people arrested? You know, here's the thing, and this is what David Shostoka said on my program on Wednesday. Jack Smith has now opened up Pandora's box. Because Trump's defense is, okay, well, now I'm going to lay out all the evidence for why I believed that the election was stolen, because you've said that I could not, that it would be impossible for me to have really believed that, because somehow I knew something that contradicted that, and of course, you know, Mr. Mike Pence, who doesn't care about this country, by the way, he said that to Tucker Carlson. Did you hear that?
No, I heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. He said, I don't care about the people of America. But you know what? I'm gonna tell you, if you're a Christian, all you need to do is look at the fact that it was Mike Pence that vetoed the marriage protection law in Indiana that was passed by both houses and hung that pizza, the couple from the pizza store, out to dry while he was the governor. Okay? He's a fake Christian, in this pastor's opinion, based on his actions and his attitudes.
What we're talking about, and the thing is, I firmly believe it, that almost all the people that are listening to your programs have known all the facts that we've talked about. They've known about them, and they're informed. We who are talking about this today, we who are listening, and we cheer and we say, yes, yes, isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? However, if we talk about it only amongst ourselves, we are doing our nation a terrible, terrible disservice. This is why we have to go back and listen to Samuel Adams. And folks, there is so much wisdom from our founding fathers. The wisdom that those men had is absolutely incredible. I firmly believe the world is in God's hands. And he orchestrated a group of extremely unique people to set up a very, very, very unique nation. And we have to, as Americans who love freedom, who love our Bibles, who love our Constitution, we have to truly understand what a unique situation God created when he brought about America.
Yeah.
But Samuel Adams told us, listen carefully, he said, it does not take a majority to prevail. Initially, majorities are almost always wrong. Initial movements are almost always wrong. He said, it does not take a majority to prevail, but an irate. You have to become interested. We have to become informed. An irate and tireless. We have to become involved. Minority. To set brush fires of freedom amongst our fellow men. That means, my son was telling me that he has these friends. They're both judges. And they're liberal. And they'll start talking about different situations. And he was talking to these judges. I forget what the exact situation. I don't know if it was about the election. I think it was about the election. And he was talking about how fraudulent it was. And he said, "Don't you know that 5 polling places closed down at the same time for all different reasons? And when they opened, all of a sudden, we found out that Biden had overcome Trump's lead, but about 95%+ of the votes counted during that time, and that all of a sudden registered, were for Biden." And they said, "No, that's not true. That couldn't happen." He said, "Well, here, go check it out." These are two judges, and right. They were not aware of that. They did not know what happened during those voting close downs.
Right.
And so if these are judges that don't know, how many other people don't know? We have an obligation to do what Eric did and said, this is what happened. They said, no, it didn't happen. He said, well, here are different stories. Here are different places where it's registered. Here are different places where you can see it. Go find out for yourselves. They did. And they came back and said, oh, I guess you're right. Now, he didn't argue with them.
Right.
He didn't tell them they were dumb. He just said, here's the sources. Go look.
Yeah. Yeah. Go read the story and then you decide.
Yeah. This is like people tell us, oh, no, God, there's no hell. God would never send anybody to hell. Oh, really? Okay. Well, go look at the Bible.
Yeah. Go read the book.
Check the source.
Yeah. Go read the book. Go read the book. Well, and that's why, you know, why you've written, you know, these books that you've written that I'm holding right here in my hand, is to help walk people through understanding that. We've got just a couple of minutes left. Let's start with this one right here.
This is a book about, it's written in form of a novel. Excuse me. But it's this young kid who learns to question. He learns to question very early in his life. He says, I have to find out for myself. And during his life, he discovers that Marxism is in every aspect of our society in America. What he does about it and what happens to him, unfortunately, is far more prophetic than I ever thought of. We are told by the left that entitlements are actually rights. Our nation was founded on natural rights. The only rights, our rights all come from God, from the Creator. And the left would have us believe that rights are those brought to us by man. Those are the two visions. They're always the visions between tyranny and freedom. Folks, Jamestown, difference between collectivism and individualism. So key that you understand those differences. Jamestown and Plymouth were both founded on collectivist mentality. They had to switch to individualism just to exist, just in order to survive. And I talk about that. I start out that chapter with people who were under collectivist governments, but because of their creativity, because of their desire, because of them being involved, they move forward. Republic or democracy, there's such a dramatic difference. And we are being told by everybody, virtually everybody, that we're a democracy. Folks, democracy is always a forerunner of dictatorship. Understand that. And this is Samuel Adams setting brush fires of freedom. I talk about, you know, Samuel Adams, when you read this book, when he went to the first Continental Congress, he came down there to Philadelphia. The first time he'd been really out of Massachusetts, went down there. He came down there with a reputation. He was known as a firebrand. Learn how he handled the situation. Understand what a truly magnificent politician he was and how he was able to understand people and lead them along the way to his goal. That's
all five of these can be yours for a donation today of $100 or more made at chosengenerationradio.com. chosengenerationradio.com. Your donation, $100 or more, and we will send you all five of these books. Don has donated these books to the ministry for that purpose, and you will help us with our ministry both in India as well as what we do here on the program. Don, thanks. I've got to jump. I appreciate it, my good friend. I will see you next week.
And everybody become informed, involved, and interested.
Hear, hear. All right, we'll be back right after this brief break.
So up next, we have Clanslight. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And Clanslight is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for him World War II, defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice on where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio. Very excited to welcome my next guest to the program. He is the founder of Pray In Jesus' Name. I want to welcome Gordon Chaps Klingenschmidt. Chaps, welcome aboard. Good to have you with me today. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Pastor Greg. Good morning. Good morning. God bless you in Jesus' name from coast to coast across America.
There you go. And I love the Colorado Rockies back there behind you with the snow cap. You guys have been having snow, by the way. A lot of people may not realize this, but Colorado just as recently as the last month had some snowstorms, because I had some friends that were posting pictures on Facebook.
I got a little bit of hail yesterday, pea-sized gravel. So it's freezing in the upper echelons, but when it vaporizes, I suppose it comes down. I haven't seen snow in August, although a couple of years ago we did have open ski slopes on the 4th of July.
Yeah, it was in July that they were, you know, August too early yet. I don't know what's going on, but yeah, they were talking about how they'd had, you know, like practically blizzard like conditions in July, which I thought was kind of interesting in light of the heat we're seeing here. Speaking of heat, they've turned up the heat on Christian persecution here. You know, it used to be, Chaps, that we talked about these things in terms of, you know, stories coming out of England, right? You know, street preachers and things of that nature, or even stories coming out of Canada. But now the stories are right here in our country.
Well, you know, I'm curious if you've seen recent events. But yes, your audience obviously knows my story back in 2006, but there were 70 chaplains suing the United States Navy. I was one of those. I had to take a stand and I lost my career, punished for praying in Jesus' name in my uniform outside of church as a Navy chaplain. But the good news is we live in America. We can file lawsuits, which I lost, but then we can petition Congress, which I won. And we were able to change the law, and you know, now chaplains have religious freedom. It takes vigilant eyes, and we've really got to stand up for these things every time we see it.
Well, what, you know, there were two that I've seen that have kind of made some of the major news recently. There was the gentleman who was on the sidewalk at a parade, again, one of those pride events where they're running around, you know, naked men twerking in front of children, and he literally was quoting a scripture that says, you know, that basically said God loves you, you know, turn from your sin so you can experience that love, more or less. And the police, you know, slammed him up against the wall and cuffed him and took him away. And then you have another situation with a young man in Wisconsin that was at a park on the sidewalk. He had some amplification, but he was again just reading scripture while in the park. You had half naked men dressed up like women once again, showing all of their, you know, nakedness and body parts to young children.
Well, this is lewdness, and it's prurience, and it's grooming and recruiting of children, violating their innocence, violating their safety, and their public decency laws that forbid that kind of behavior. But when they arrest the Christians for protesting this, they later apologized and said, oh, we only did that for your safety because the angry gay mob was going to kill you, Christians. So the police don't arrest the angry gay violent people. Instead, they arrest the peaceful protesters so that we aren't killed by the angry gay mafia. So it's kind of upside down, and legally these things usually get sorted out in the end, but at expense of our First Amendment freedoms.
Well, and not just our First Amendment freedoms, but I think at the expense of the innocence of these children. I mean, that's who is most significantly damaged by this. And you've got, you know, the National Public Library. I believe that tomorrow is a they're having a you know, meet me at the library events all across the country. That Kirk Cameron has kind of spearheaded this, but they're having events all across the country to read wholesome books and family-oriented, faith-based books in the public libraries. But my understanding is that in many of these instances, there's going to be a counter reading, if you will, that involves, you know, the pornographic and erotic materials that they are thrusting on children in opposition to that.
Well, we've all read about drag queen story hours for the last several years, where, you know, men dressed as women, you know, sometimes very suggestively dressed as women, and exposing, you know, their private parts to children while they're reading storybooks. So it must be good for kids, right? But they use this as a means of re-educating Christian children that gay is good. And, you know, gosh, it's been 20 years now since Heather Has Two Mommies was published. And there's so many gay children's books now that it can only be for one reason. And that is they want to have sex with your children. And you remember the plus at the end of LGBTQ plus, the plus means new horizons unimagined yet, including pedophilia. And so they're expanding the plus 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 into areas that have been illegal. They're pushing the edge of the law. They're engaged in lawfare in the courts to have more access to your children. And the biggest place we've seen this is in school boards across America. Moms for Liberty, thankfully, is pushing back. There's a great Christian group, headquarters out of Florida, I think, but they have county representatives in almost every county across America now. And they are going school board by school board to all of the meetings demanding you yank pornography out of public school libraries, where it's being placed for children. To groom them to so that gays can have more sex with them. It's really a battle, and if parents are not paying attention yet or pulling their kids out of public schools altogether, then at least they need to show up at school board meetings and talk about this.
Well, and they're promoting it now. They've changed it to minor attracted persons, but what I think, you know, all you need to do is look at the document, The Overhauling of Straight America, which was written back in the late 1980s, and it says right in there that they believed that the North American Man-Boy Love Association was a part of their movement, a part of the people that they intended to get rights and liberties and access to our children was that particular group. And so the idea that pedophilia was something that was out of it. Now, one of their big arguments that I keep hearing them throw up is as well, but the majority of pedophiles are straight males, straight white males. Chaps, do you want to chime in on that for a second?
Well, I don't know. Certainly they're not straight. We know that from and I'm a former Catholic, but I'm going to dabble in the idea of the Catholic scandal that the Pope had to deal with, past two popes have had to deal with, and that is dating back to the 1960s and 70s, that adult male priests were molesting children. But, you know, 90% of the victims were boys who were violated by male priests. So among pedophiles, that's the part they never tell you. Oh, Catholic priests are evil. No, it's the gay Catholic priests that are evil. So when adult men are attracted to boys, that there's a homosexual element of that. And they're trying to recruit those boys into the gay lifestyle. And that's where a lot of the crimes happened. And they should be punished. And I think the Catholic Church has been great about, you know, purging their elements of the pedophile element or punishing that and not looking the other way anymore. The lawsuits have ensured that, if nothing else.
Sure.
But what they haven't talked about is purging the priesthood of adult gays. There's a whole idea of celibacy. I'm Protestant because I'm not celibate, right? I had to get married. So I couldn't be a Catholic priest. I don't have that gift. It's a very special gift to be totally celibate. And yet when you're a priest and you're not celibate, the question is, does it attract people of the homosexual lifestyle? Since only men can be priests there, they have more work to do.
Well, and that, you know, obviously that opened up the door for a lot of this conversation, I think, as far as those on the left to address this. And no one is suggesting that what was done or what happened or the behavior that took place was right. But I think, again, you know, that the whole notion is that when you put the adjective straight, that has a meaning, and that meaning is that it's someone who is attracted to an age appropriate woman, a male that is attracted to an age appropriate woman, or an age appropriate woman that is attracted to an age appropriate man. That is the traditional definition of straight, which they, again, every time they like to put the word out, they like to create this. It's like now we can't just say marriage. We have to say traditional marriage because, you know, marriage has been redefined. And actually, there's even a fellow out in California that when they passed Obergefell, he went and got a marriage license to marry his dog because in the 1800s, California passed a law that said that if men ever were marrying men, then man could marry his pet.
Well, you're onto something there. There are no boundaries to the perversity that can be imagined. The question is it enjoyable? Is it pleasurable? And to me, it's not. I'm personally not attracted to little children, right? Boys or girls. It's just not interesting to me. I love my wife. She is interesting to me. And this whole idea of sexual orientation really has no limits when you have no personal mores or boundaries, right? You can be oriented toward anything that you wish, whether it's criminal or animal or vegetable. I mean, you can be oriented toward anything that you can possibly imagine.
Right.
In an inappropriate way. So the whole notion of sexual orientation is a sham. It's all fakery, and it's the whole idea is to expand your boundaries until there are no boundaries so you can have whatever you desire sexually. That's wrong. When God put it into our biology, he created them male and female and put Adam and Eve together in the garden, not Adam and Steve. And God had a plan. Jesus affirmed this in Matthew 18 or 19, I think Jesus said, "Have you not read that from the beginning God made them male and female? And for this cause, man shall leave his mother and father and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Well, the only way for two human beings to physically, biologically become one flesh is for their DNA to merge in the form of a baby. And children don't have babies. Dogs don't have human babies. But when a man and a woman are joined in marriage, they do have a human baby. And that baby is one flesh, half from the DNA of the woman, half from the DNA of the man. That procreation is the affirmation of the Creator's original design that man and woman should be joined.
Well, and you know, the other thing that you know, is sin, you know, is the prevalent problem for all of mankind, period. And so just because someone has a propensity for a particular sin doesn't mean that we're supposed to act on it. Someone could have a propensity to steal, but we know that stealing is not right. Although I had guests on earlier today and we were talking about, you know, in Chicago, you can steal up to almost $1,000 and there's no penalty for that. Or you can steal a vehicle, and if the police see you and you've already started down the road, they won't chase you down because they're not allowed to. But we know morally that it's not right. And I guess that's where we get back to what's happening to our children in school, is they are literally destroying the natural conscience, the natural innocence of a child. And Robert Epstein has been doing a study on this about morals to try to get people to talk about. It's called My Morals. And what he has found is that a large percentage of our culture today is essentially amoral, chap. And that's the problem, chaps.
Well, if you set aside God and the Ten Commandments and the Bible, and you just try to define as a society what is best for society, and I think you have to go back to the Golden Rule, which is universal to almost all religions, I think. Love your neighbor as yourself. And that means the Hippocratic Oath is to first do no harm. So if you're harming another person and there's a victim to your crime, then it needs to be illegal. Even from a secular perspective, we must criminalize harm to your neighbor. Well, the Supreme Court in Lawrence versus Texas has legalized adult consensual homosexual behavior behind closed doors, right? Because they say there's no victim, because you have two consenting adults. But when there is a child involved, there is always a victim, because that child is not a consenting adult. They don't even know the difference. And as soon as they are violated, they are a victim, and there is harm. So no standard of right and wrong in society that says don't harm your neighbor or don't harm an innocent child can be, upheld unless we ban pedophilia entirely.
Well, and here becomes the issue, and this has been my argument about this all along. Once you have legalized, and this was something that Scalia wrote when he wrote the dissent against the decision regarding Lawrence to begin with, he said, you have now opened up the floodgates because you have opened up the pathway for sexual deviance. And when you stamp legal on it, when you make it the law of the land, now you have to introduce it to your education system. You have to. There is no choice. There's no alternative. Because when you talk about sexuality and you talk about the act of sex and you start to teach sex education, guess what? One of the things, and this is what was happening, almost 20 years ago, they started teaching in Massachusetts, in open public assemblies. They would bring the high school students in for public assembly, and they would teach them how to perform fisting in front of the entire school in Massachusetts almost 20 years ago. And why? Well, because they had legalized it by taking away the statutes that were a part of Lawrence versus Texas. Once they did that, then guess what? Those that are engaged in that activity said, hey, you need to teach this because we want our children that are going to be involved in this activity to do it safely. And that's the same thing when Obergefell went into place. Now, you talked about the I forget the book that you mentioned, but I found a book. I was on the school site council in Modesto, California at a grammar school there. And my daughter was 6 years old. She's 23 now. And one of her readers was a book called And Tango Makes Three. And it was the story of two male penguins adopting a penguin to form a family. And I had it removed.
Well, we need to be watchful. Parents in an age of lawlessness need to become the law. Children need to be, you know, brought up in the discipline of the Lord. And if you do train up a child in the way he should go, then when he is old, he will not depart from it. The problem is the training is coming from not just the public schools in place of the parents, but peer-to-peer social media, including gay-oriented pedophile sites that target your children through their cell phone. And parents who, you know, don't put safeguards on your child's cell phone. Doug Weiss, who's a PhD psychologist here in Colorado Springs, recently appeared on our show. He's a family and marriage therapist. He said children should not have a cell phone until they can pay for it themselves. So if your teenager gets a job, you know, maybe a weekend job at fast food joint, and they can afford their own cell phone, then they should get one. But until then, you know, 12-year-olds have no business even having a cell phone with direct access to the internet when they're, you know, in their bed under their covers at night, not being monitored by mom and dad, because God knows what kind of websites they're going to be tricked into going onto and where it's going to bring their innocent mind.
No doubt. No doubt. Chaps, we're going to run out of time here. Why don't we close by praying against this perversion and praying some protection over our kids?
Okay, let us pray. Father in heaven, we do turn to you in Jesus' name, and we pray that you are the safeguard on our minds, that you are the law in our hearts. Write your law on our hearts. As parents, as adults, even as children, Father, we pray that as the children come to Jesus, that they will not be forbidden, that Jesus said, we will let the little children come to me. And Father, I pray that as they come to you, you will protect them, and you will spiritually in some way hang a noose around those with a boulder that would be drowned in the depths of the sea, rather than throw them into hell. Father, I pray that every pedophile would repent, that the mercy of Christ would forgive their sins, and that no child would be brought down that grooming road, especially since we've legalized some of that. Father, we pray the laws would change to protect them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. And chaps, how can folks follow you?
Our website is prayinjesusname.org. Click on the free email sign up, especially, but we're on 17 streaming platforms with our daily TV show, PIJN News. Visit us at prayinjesusname.org.
Awesome. Chaps, I so appreciate you being with me, and I know that you're doing a lot of work in India. We're doing a lot of work. We had another service yesterday and a number of salvations and miracle healings, and we're all very concerned, of course, about what's happening in Manipur and the continued persecutions that are taking place there, and praying for our brothers and sisters in Manipur and what they're dealing with, and throughout India, as the Modi government has taken a very strong Hindu nationalist turn.
Amen. I'm planning to travel to India after 11 October for almost a month. Pray for me in my travels as we, you know, encourage the people of God there.
Amen. Amen. Thanks again, chaps. Thanks for being with me today. I greatly appreciate it, brother. God bless you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. All right, folks, we are at the end of our time. We thank you so much for being with us. And remember, at the end of the day, have a very blessed weekend, and we'll see you on Monday. At the end of the day, when I stand before my God, I do not want him to ask me, what did you do with the world that I sent my son to die for and redeem? How did you fight the good fight to share the good news and keep evil in check? How did you shine your light and be a beacon of truth in the darkness? Did you shrink back in fear when they demanded you change my message? Did you call evil good and good evil? Did you forsake my love for that of another, lying with the adulterer and setting up a new idol in your life? Have you defiled yourself through compromise and tolerance of that which I call an abomination? Have you innocent blood on your hands for the children murdered on your watch and the young ones perverted in their way by evil men, seeking their own comfort and reviling me? No. At the end of the day, I want him to simply say, the evidence is in. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I love my God, and I love his creation, and I will go to my grave telling the world that evil is evil, and only God is good, and Jesus came to save the world. That no matter the evil in the world, I will never give up, and in spite of the hate, I will love in truth. God bless you all, and may love remove the veil, so you all might enter into his rest.